On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Well, hello there. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I'm George Adair. We do the show every Wednesday at noon. You can always stream it at ksro.com. Go to 103.5 FM. Not just an AM station, right?
So yeah, we're
all
over the place.
Find us all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, technology is a big part of radio these days, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah. And people like to listen when they want to listen, so they could listen to a podcast of your show.
They really can. Yeah, I encourage that. You know, we're a one-time a week show, but mm-hmm. I think the content is relevant to so many that if you can't get it on a Wednesday, come stream it mm-hmm. or go online and stream it. You can also find information about us at facebook.com/Bay Equity Loans. Bay Equity is where I hang my shingle, so to speak. It's where I originate home loans for folks in the community. If you want to know more about what you qualify for to refinance or buy a home, you can call us at 707-583-8100. 707-583-8100. Hey, Michelle, what's up?
Oh, all kinds of things.
All kinds of things. I hear you're moving.
I am moving. I'm very excited about
that.
Well,
that's good. Good yeah. for you. Housing is really the focus of our show, as mm-hmm. of course you know, my partner in crime here for 6 years. We really haven't tackled the issue of property rentals and matters of investor property ownership so much as we have always encouraged people to become homeowners for the first time. And you know, I think that's because I've always wanted to. I like the part of my job where I get to educate people to do the exciting, go through the exciting process of buying their first house, and
sure.
seems to be what I lean towards. But today, that's just changing, and a lot of people are moving. A lot of people are migrating out of the county. A lot of people are migrating into the county. In fact, we have a lot of second homes. Mm-hmm. People are buying homes for VRBO and Airbnb type purposes,
sure.
short-term rentals. But the long-term rental is a conversation that's become really hot. The matters of rent control, affordability, affordable housing crisis, as some would coin it. You know, how do the people that are outside of the top 5% income earners, how do they afford to live here?
We all live on top of each other.
Yes.
That's how I've seen it.
Well, supposedly that's one of the solutions put forth is literally putting granny units on properties.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, what we call that is housing density is going up. So you're essentially putting more people, more families on one parcel. Really nothing wrong with that. I think urban sprawl has pushed people out into the suburbs and getting into that idea that we want to live closer to nature, but then we just put subdivisions out there. You know, that's not necessarily the affordable option for the average folk today. Home prices in Sonoma County are approaching $700,000. Median home price is $700,000. And, you know, some people, there's two sides of that camp, two camps to look at. One say they're going to go down. One says they're going to go up. You know, I think time will tell. But I've got a great guest today, Keith Becker. He is the broker and owner of Dee Dee's Rentals. Hey, Keith, how are you?
How are you, George?
Well, I'm pretty sure most of our listeners have seen a Dee Dee's Rentals sign at some point. You guys have a great reputation in town. I appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Glad to be here.
Tell our listeners a little bit about you and Dee Dee's Rentals, and then you and I are going to talk about some pretty big there's a Proposition 10 coming up and some other initiatives. So, folks, this is going to be an interesting show to listen to. But, Keith, tell us your background.
Well, I came to California, came to Sonoma County in 1994, followed my pregnant wife, who'd been hired by a radio station here in town. She was employed. I was not. I was hired as a clerk at Dee Dee's Rentals. And after a number of years, sort of worked my way through the ranks, ultimately got my broker's license, bought the company, and am now the general manager.
Oh, sorry. General manager and broker of record would be the appropriate, right?
That is good. Well, I have a variety. I wear a variety of hats.
Yes.
A broker. I'm the president of the corporation. But the thing that basically what I do on a day-to-day basis, I'm the general manager.
Hands on.
Yep.
Yeah. And you have to be. Your business is tough.
Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize that property management companies are under the Department of Real Estate in California, and that there's so many laws on both sides of that rental agreement. You know, these are bilateral agreements that that put responsibilities of the tenant and how they care for the property, and of course making payments on time, and then they put responsibilities on the landlord of you know, right to access rights and enforcement rights and disclosure notices are a big part of it. So, you know, when you want to rent property, if you don't know what you're doing, you've got to use a property management company.
Oh, there are a tremendous number of landmines. Habitability is an issue, and there are things associated with habitability. For example, as a landlord, you need to, and this is something that goes with sales, where you have to have smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, double-strapped water heaters. You have to have deadbolts on your hinged doors leading to the outside, and the deadbolts have to throw into the door jamb. Huh. There are very specific, unexpected laws that you have to abide to that you might not otherwise know about. There's a new one about bed bugs.
Really? Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Did you sign that?
It's a 3-page addendum. And basically what it says is that the owner is required to disclose to you if there was a previous bed bug infestation and how they treated it, what you as the tenant have to do if you discover one, and what liabilities may be associated on either side of the equation. And that's been a new law that every owner is supposed to include in their new rental contract or in a renewal at least once. And that came into effect as of last year, 2017.
So if you weren't taking good notes, that's a perfect example of why you would call a company like Didi's Property Rentals. And here's the thing. It's like I always talk against do-it-yourself lending. Do-it-yourself anything can be very risky and dangerous. Would you get under your car on a jack to change the oil, or should you maybe just take it in and pay the $39 and have an expert do it and dispose of it properly, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many laws involved with so many facets of doing business and doing things that I have used property management companies for my properties to lease. It's just too much, too many pitfalls.
Oh, absolutely. Now, we do have owners who hire us just to find tenants, and mm-hmm. then thereafter, they collect the rent, they deal with the maintenance, yep. they deal when a tenant moves out, they deal with the security yep. deposit refund. And if you know what you're doing, you can do it. And like you said earlier at the very beginning, in terms of education, we at Didi's do a great amount of education because, we want to make sure that the entire industry benefits from knowing what's required in order to be a good, successful landlord.
And what's coming down the line? I think, you're providing consult and advice to your folks. And, I think that we need to just jump right into a couple of really important things that I learned about in our prep conversation here with Keith. Prop 10. Michelle, I don't know if you've tuned into this yet. We're still 4 months out, mm-hmm. I think, or so from when that would hit the ballot. But Prop 10 is something that property owners, investors, I should say, and also tenants should be aware of. There's really two sides to this discussion. And Keith, would you mind giving our listeners an overview of what Prop 10 is?
I'll do my best to do this without getting into the weeds.
Yes.
There is a law that was passed in 1995 called Costa-Hawkins. And Costa-Hawkins was designed to put some limitations on rent control. It doesn't mean that cities can't institute rent control, but it does say you cannot institute rent control on properties built after 1995, single-family residences, or condominiums. Mm-hmm. There are some other issues associated with that, but those are the big-ticket items.
And in a community like Sonoma County, we're heavy on everything that you couldn't implement rent control on.
Absolutely. We've got so many single-family residences. That is entirely correct. So there is an effort this year to overturn Costa-Hawkins.
Okay, which means open up rent control to single-family residents and homes built after 1995.
That is correct. What this does not mean, it does not mean that rent control is immediately coming to Santa Rosa. It does not mean rent control is immediately coming to California.
Right.
But it does mean that any city that might want to pass a rent control ordinance can be much more expansive than they might have been able to be otherwise.
Got it. That's a great overview of what we're looking at. So Prop 10 essentially would repeal Costa-Hawkins.
Correct.
And enable municipalities to expand rent control provisions that Costa-Hawkins currently prohibits.
That's correct.
Okay. In today's environment where rents are seemingly going up and up and up, do you view rent control as the answer to the housing crisis?
Boy, doesn't that sound like a softball question? And the answer is simply no.
Right.
It is not going to solve our inventory. It is not going to solve the supply issue. Rent control, all it does is it puts an artificial cap in terms of what the existing stock is going to be able to command in terms of rent and a return on the owner's investment. it will not build one more property. As a matter of fact, it is likely, especially if we overturn Costa-Hawkins, it is likely to diminish the likelihood of builders and investors to create more housing.
A lot of renters are feeling the pain, though.
Oh, hell yes.
You know, and so there's multiple layers to the problem here. We've seen a lot of success in the economic recovery and what it's done for home prices, but that's also increased the cost of home ownership for many of us investors, which gets essentially passed on to tenants. So the tenants have to help cover the mortgage in order for investors to be incentivized to own investment property. Do you see investors leaving markets if there's rent control?
I have actually, now bear in mind, there was an effort, a rent stabilization ordinance that was being considered for Santa Rosa. It is not on the ballot because it did not acquire this specific necessary number of signatures. Mm-hmm. But I have had since the beginning of the year, since this ominous threat of Santa Rosa's rent stabilization ordinance and Prop 396 and Prop 10, all of them coming together, I have had nearly two dozen owners of inventory in our portfolio have sold properties simply because they did not want to be left holding the bag on November 7th after Election Day when all of these possibilities may have come true. Because
and they go out of state, right?
And Idaho, Austin,
Texas, yeah,
North Carolina.
Yeah, the big migration's leaving the state. And a lot of these folks are still major contributors and members to the economic workforce of Sonoma County. And we have an ongoing problem here of how do we keep housing at an affordable level for renters? And, you know, I'm not sure that the political the propositions and the politicalization of the issue is the answer. We're going to talk more with Heath Becker of DD Properties. I've got to go to a commercial break, and I'll be right back.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5, KSRO.
Weather every 10 minutes mornings, every 30 minutes all the time on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM, KSRO.
Hey folks, this is George Adair from Bay Equity Home Loans. We're your local lender, but I want you to know we have cutting-edge technology available to you. I'm really excited to announce our Bay Equity Express closing. You don't have to go search the internet to find your home loan lender. We're right here in Santa Rosa, Petaluma, and Windsor. Bay Equity Home Loans offers many loan programs with amazing technology. At closing, you can digitally sign your loan documents. It saves time, saves frustration, and we get to the closing process so much faster. If you're buying in Sonoma County, the speed to close is one of the most important factors in getting your offer accepted. The reputation of Bay Equity locally is amongst the best. Visit us at bayequityloans.com or call 707-583-8100. Again, 707-583-8100. 8100. Bay Equity is your home for loans.
Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. NMLS ID 76988. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight, California Finance Lender Law, and or California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. NMLS ID 245370.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5, KSRO.
Thanks for joining us. I'm George Adair. Remember to tune in online if you missed the show or you had to run in back into work or something or get your order at the deli counter and you missed the second half. You can always go check us out. The podcast will be up there. I'm joined today with Keith Becker. He's the broker and general manager owner of DD Rentals. And so tell us about DD Rentals as a business and what you most enjoy about what you do.
Basically, my job is, it feels like I'm doing seven chess matches all at the same time because every action provokes a counteraction, whether we're talking about applicants, whether we're talking about tenants, owners, repairs that need to be done, unpaid rents, you name it. Basically, everything is minutia. You have to be attentive to detail. Mm-hmm. Now, DD's has been around since 1972. No, I'm not the founder. I was 12 at the time. There was indeed a Didi, and she was the first owner, and then I bought the company from her successor. I joined, as I said, in 1994 and sort of worked my way through the ranks. And here we are 45 years later, still going strong.
Yeah, yeah, with a great reputation. But unfortunately, your business probably has a lot of negativity. I mean, you know, you're dealing with a lot of conflict, I imagine, right?
I have to warn my team that if they do their job right, somebody's going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Whether it is an owner or whether it is a tenant or whether it is a vendor, the fact is they can't, you know, if you want a job where you're going to make everybody happy, be an ice cream salesman, you know, this is not it.
Yeah.
It is a challenging, it is a very fulfilling business, but it is very attention to detail.
I think if people pay attention to the details that are a party to the agreements, there's less strife too. So communicating all the issues and understanding them before they arise is a big part of it. And that's where working with a property management company such as yours is such a huge advantage. In the break, I asked you if in general what the makeup of your property owners is. And you told me that a lot of it is people that inherit property or are by accident property owners, I think is your term. But you also cater to investors that own multiple properties. Do you see that those investors are going to be able, and those property owners that inherited property, are going to be able to sustain some of these major potential political changes?
No. Honestly speaking, they are the single owner investors really get agitated by all of these issues coming down the pike, especially since they do not necessarily understand them. If you've got an investor who owns hundreds of properties, they have their own in-house team to help them be able to do the dissection and the understanding of the nuts and bolts and minutiae of whatever this is, and they're not going to divest.
Yeah.
They've got hundreds of properties. You've got somebody who owns one property, the property's worth $700,000, and they say, you know what, I would rather get out of this than to try to deal with the uncertainty of what 2020 is going to look like, the year 2020, there are some who basically are just, they feel uncertain. I do my best, though, from my position, again, as I said earlier about education, I do a lot of communication with my owners to make sure that they understand what's coming and how it might affect them.
So rent control, it just by hearing those two words, controlling. Sorry, I lost my audio there.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
You okay?
Sorry about that. Rent control, which those two words put together means the idea that you're going to cap how much rent can go up. What would you tell a tenant and a listener here that is in favor of the idea of rent control as a way to protect themselves from getting priced out of a rental market?
Well, if an owner has the choice, and bear in mind, if you've got rent control, it will cap the maximum amount of income that an owner is effectively going to be able to bring in. It will cap their profit, but it will not cap their expenses. So an owner could theoretically pencil this out for years to come in terms of saying, okay, this is what my gross is going to be in 2018, 19, 20, 21. But if I've got expenses, roof, asphalt, driveway, concrete driveway, things that cannot be passed back to the tenant, I can see myself as an owner losing. And in that instance, there's a lot of owners who will indeed instead try to get out of the market and say, there's a better way for me to spend my money, invest my money, and not have this anguish, this uncertainty.
So when those investors, as the couple dozen you referenced, are leaving because of the possibility of these changes, what happens to that real estate market and that rental market? What's the negative impact?
Most of those properties, and I've tracked most of the properties that have gone for sale, and I don't do sales myself, although I am a broker, although I am licensed by the DRE, I do not do sales because this is enough of a job.
Yeah.
But I've tracked most of those properties.
Yeah.
Most of them have now become single-family residences owner-occupied. They've been taken out of the market.
That lease is up. They essentially go, I can give 60-day notice with some provisions, of course, and no longer be a landlord, and I can just sell the property is what happens.
Correct.
So those tenants that feel they're going to have the protections of rent control could lose the protection of stability of where they live.
Well, the concept of the rent stabilization ordinance in Santa Rosa was really problematic because it also had built-in issues associated with what is called just cause evictions. Because envision, if you will, you got a tenant and the tenant has been there for 8 years and they're paying $1,000 for a property that's worth $2,700, let's just say. What's to prevent the owner from saying, dear tenant, you've been here for too long, I need to raise the rent, so you need to go away? Anytime, almost anytime there is a rent control ordinance, there is a corollary just cause eviction clause. Mm. And the just cause eviction basically says there is a very limited list of reasons why an owner can invite a tenant to vacate. And in some of those instances, inviting the tenant to vacate could wind up including paying them an amount equal to 6 months' rent or more, plus moving costs. And in this particular ordinance that was being considered, the rent stabilization ordinance, there actually was a provision that certain qualified tenants would simply not be able to be vacated.
Wow.
They basically have a life estate.
That happened in San Francisco and continues to go on. And Oakland.
A friend of mine who runs a property management firm in San Francisco, I took this rent stabilization ordinance and showed it to her. And she says, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with all this. Santa Rosa's was on par with San Francisco in all its complexity.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting. Well, so this is something that's going to be come more and more public over the next 4 months, 3.5 months. And you said this is a $50 million campaign in support of Prop 10. Is that right?
No, let me clarify.
Yeah, I may have misunderstood.
The rent stabilization ordinance that I was just talking about did not get the necessary number of signatures, so that is not on the ballot for the city of Santa Rosa.
Got it.
Prop 10 is a statewide effort. And the campaign, I have heard numbers as high as 60 million, but this is up and down the entire state. This is affecting every community, every metropolis in California. So it is a big deal.
Yeah.
So those are the two issues. And the big item for this November is going to be Prop 10.
Yeah. And if you just tuned in, I'm joined by Keith Becker. He runs and owns DD Rentals. And we're talking about Prop 10 and other issues around rent control. We're also talking about how that would impact ownership of these rentals. But I don't know that we're really talking yet about how it solves any problems. So in your mind, as someone who's watched a rental market go up and down and fluctuate over decades now, what do you think the solution is to stabilizing rents that have clearly risen tremendously, especially as a result of fires? What is your solution?
Oh, there you go. I get to solve this.
You get to solve it. You've only got 3 minutes.
I've got 3 minutes. It is a four-legged stool. In my opinion, it is a four-legged stool. Supply, demand, cost of living, and wages. And those four have to come into balance with each other. And we can't necessarily solve all of those things, not without a whole lot of legislation, and I'm in favor of less legislation as it relates to this. The real issue is to be able to construct more housing and more affordable housing. Affordable housing for those people who are renting and affordable housing for those people who are just starting out, because the young families who are going to be our community in the year 2030, somehow they have to be able to get into houses. And getting into houses at $700,000 at the present rate, unless they're making $140,000 a year, they're not going to make it.
Here's the numbers that people can look at. The maximum loan amount for an FHA loan, which is your go-to first-time home buyer type of loan program because of the low down payment provision, is $648,000. So if you buy a home for about $670,000 and you make the loan $648,000, your payment with the principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and the mortgage insurance is approximately $4,500 a month. It's not realistic.
No, not at all.
And so families are calling me going, hey, I want to get pre-approved for a home loan. I heard your commercial. I heard your show. Sounds like I can qualify. I've got great credit and a stable job. And I get in there and I go, sorry, your debt to income ratio doesn't work, or it's unconscionable because we have something called payment shock. Mm-hmm. For me to watch you go from a $1,500 or $1,800 a month rent, or in some cases, zero rent because you still live with your folks, which is very common right now, into a $3,500 to $4,000 or $4,500 payment. It's unconscionable.
So are people just leaving the area?
Oh.
They are. They are leaving. And this is going to affect, it's going to have a major economic impact on our economy because we're going to lose our a lot of blue-collar workers. We're going to lose a lot of entry-level workers. We're going to lose a lot of people that support our hospitals, our public safety, our education system.
Yeah.
Those sectors.
Hospitality.
Hospitality is, you know, tourism we claim is a big, big part of our economic success mm-hmm. in Sonoma. Forget it, folks. You can't make $15 an hour plus tips and survive.
Right.
And you're dealing with this all the time in the rental market.
By the way, you're $4,500 a month yeah. for your package. You're not going to get that if you rent the property. So buying right. now, first-time buyer saying, okay, I've got an investment and my nut is $4,500, so I'm going to pass it on to the tenant.
Can't do it.
That's not going to work.
You gave me some numbers yesterday. We're down to about a minute. I'd love for you to tell me, in general, what is the average rent for a three-bedroom home and a four-bedroom home?
Got it. A three-bedroom home average is $2,600, $2,700. It can be as low as $2,400. It can be as high as $3,200. A four-bedroom average, $3,200. Can be as low as $2,900. Can be as high as $3,500. But those are the broad strokes.
Yep, yep. There's always going to be the ups and downs on that on either side of that that bell curve. Really great conversation, Keith Becker.
It's been a pleasure.
How do people reach you if they want to inquire about available properties or if they want to work with you to list their property
you can
for rent?
You can call my office, which is 707-523-4500, or email me, Keith, K-E-I-T-H, at ddsrentals.com.
523-4500, DD's Rentals. Keith Becker, great conversation. I want to have you back again.
I'd be delighted.
All right, folks. If you missed it or you only caught a part of the show, go to
ksro.com.
Okay, yeah. Or go to the Facebook page, yep. too. All right, we got to run. I'm getting the hook.
Bye.
See ya.